God and being able to spend it together like we are this morning is a blessing for each of us. A few weeks ago, we visited the potter's house. And when we walked in, we saw the potter making something on his wheel. That began a revelation that has continued. It seems that God is threading his word and connecting the dots for some of us. All of us are like clay in the hands of a potter. The Bible clearly teaches us the relationship the potter has with the clay is so special and so unique and so caring. The potter knows the vessel he has intended to make. And as we, the clay, spins on his wheel, we feel the pressure of the finger of God. What began with the revelation at the potter's house has now turned into a better understanding of how God deals with us as his children. And we quickly learn that what God is up to as he redesigns us, as he crushes us and makes a brand new vessel, the same old clay, but now a brand new vessel. By the purpose of the potter, he is growing us up. That's where he's taking us. We learned last week that the biggest problem in the church has always been spiritual immaturity. And so as the potter is touching us and dealing with us, the thought he has in mind is our growth, our development, and our spiritual maturity. Now, you can't hear this word from God without being affected. We read the scripture last week, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Beginning at verse 1, Paul wrote to an immature church and said, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Sounds like the potter as he applies a little pressure to the vessel on the wheel, reshaping this vessel. Sounds like he is intending that we grow up in this process. Hebrews 5, and beginning at verse 12, we read last week, "You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who loves only milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong." So we're on a journey. It began at the potter's house, and it will end with all of us growing into full maturity in Christ. Let's stretch a little more this morning. Are you ready for it? Here we grow again. Beginning in Exodus chapter 24 and verse 12. "Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there. And I will give you tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I have written that you may teach them." So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. In verse 18, "So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights." I want to speak this morning about the top of the mountain. The Christian life is all about growing in our knowledge and in our fellowship with God. Paul gave up everything. Everything that he had obtained in his life's work, he gave it all up. And he said, I count everything I've earned as a loss, just so I may know him. The Christian life is about growing in our knowledge and fellowship with God. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know the Father. And we know the Lord only as much as we seek him. We know the Lord only as much as we seek him. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9 says, if you seek him, he will be found by you. Jeremiah 29, 13 says, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. We know the Lord only as much as we seek him. And in the story of God calling Moses to the top of the mountain, it's an Old Testament model of the very similar parallel we enjoy in the New Testament. But the truth always was and always will be, we know the Lord only as much as we seek him. There are three distinct levels of intimacy with God. Babes always remain at the lowest level. Adolescents and sometimes juveniles at least attempt to start in the right direction. But only those who make it to the top of the mountain where God dwells and calls us all to be with him, only those who seek him that desperately grow into spiritual maturity. It's available for all of us in this covenant. But let's look at the three distinct levels of intimacy with God. Moses was on the top of the mountain. The crowd, or the congregation as it were, the children of Israel, were at the base of the mountain. That's where they lived their entire life. They never even took a step up the mountain. The vast majority of God's people, even in the Old Testament, stayed at the bottom of the mountain. Then, if you'll read that entire chapter, Exodus 24, you'll see that 70 elders of Israel attempted to climb the mountain, but only got so far, and they settled on the side of the mountain. They were slightly above the crowd, the congregation that remained at the base of the mountain, but they only went so far and then no further. That was the 70 elders. But then the goal for all of us in this new covenant is to get to the top of the mountain where God's presence dwells. And that's where Moses ascended. Moses made it to the top of the mountain. Now, all Christians are equally related to God. Those at the bottom of the mountain, those on the side of the mountain, and those who dare scale the mountain and make it all the way to the top. All Christians are equally related to God, but not all Christians are equally knowledgeable of God. Not all Christians enjoy the same measure of fellowship with God. Now let's look a little more closely at these three different groups. First of all, the crowd. This is the congregation. This was the vast majority of all of the children of Israel. They stayed at the bottom of the mountain, one toe in the valley all the time. They were at the base of the mountain. Now, Was Jehovah their God? Yes. Were they related to Jehovah? Yes. Did God claim all of them as his people? Yes. They were equally related to God, but they had little knowledge of God. They worshiped God, the Bible says, from afar. Anybody in our day guilty of that? Believe in God, related to God, got a little faith working. Hey, I'm in the crowd. I'm in the church. I know God. I belong to him, but stay at a distance. Never climb the mountain. Stay at the base of the mountain. The Bible says they experienced God at a distance. They were uninterested, unacquainted, and unsure of him. Here's what happened in the crowd. Those who were at the base of the mountain, they heard God speak to Moses on the mountain, and they heard the thunder that it caused up there, and they saw the lightning. But here's what they did, the Bible says, when they heard the thunder, they moved and stood afar off. How about that? The vast majority of people who should be growing and developing spiritually, the goal for all of us should be spiritual maturity. No longer babes in Christ, but standing up in full stature as a spiritual man or a spiritual woman. And yet, you hear God is doing something, and rather than run toward it, the Bible says they moved and stood afar off. Not going toward what God is doing in their day, but moving away from it. In Exodus chapter 20, it says, and the people said to Moses, this is what the crowd at the base of them, the overwhelming majority of believers in the church, not just this church, but the church globally, all over the world, the majority stay at the base of the mountain. Here's what they said in Exodus chapter 20. The people said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us. There is not anybody in this room right now, I'm sure, that has gone all week long with the thought or the behavior that I don't want to hear anything directly from God. I'll go to church Sunday morning and I'll let Carl speak to me, but don't let God speak anything to me all week long. I know nobody's thought that all week. That's what the crowd at the base of the mountain, that was their mind. There it is in Scripture. You can read the entire chapter. This is Exodus chapter 20. The people said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but don't let God speak to us. They heard from God indirectly, never personally. Their knowledge of God was entirely secondhand. Although they had been delivered from Egypt, they remained largely ignorant of the one who had delivered them, and that was all right with them. They just camped out at the base of the mountain for life. That's the crowd, the majority of God's people in the Old Testament. Then, now let's look at the second group, the 70 elders. Small group, but they went a little further in their quest to know God. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 24 that they climbed the lower slopes of the mountain. Exodus 24 verses 9 through 11, if you want to be specific, says they saw God and enjoyed a measure of communion with him. They actually ate and drank a meal in the presence of God. So that was a step closer to God than the crowd that spent their entire life at the base of the mountain, disconnected and detached from any personal fellowship with God. At least the elders started in the right direction and went so far. They had communion. They ate a meal. and enjoyed some drink in the presence of God. But even then, their knowledge of God was personal and limited. Now, I do not know the Pope. I have never met Pope Francis. I like him all right. He's shaking things up a little bit. Really? But I've never been in his presence. I have never had a conversation with him. Here's all I know about that. I know about Pope Francis what I've been told, what I have seen through reports and at a distance, but I don't know what cologne he wears. I've never been close enough to smell his cologne. All I know about the Pope is what's been reported for the world to see. I'm just one in the world with limited knowledge about the Pope because I've never had any communication, fellowship, spent any time personally with him. I'm like the crowd at the base of the mountain. Never been around the Pope. Now, I did spend 2 or 3 hours privately with Carmen. He's a big Christian rock star. He was just here a few nights ago. Now, when he was here this time, Pastor Steve got to smell his cologne. See what kind of cologne he was wearing. But when Carmen was here a few years ago on a Sunday morning, I spent 2 or 3 hours with him in my office mostly. It was just the two of us. We talked a little bit. We ate. He wanted to eat. So we sent down the street to a restaurant for what he wanted to eat. And so Carmen and I ate a meal together. I ate one meal with Carmen. I did smell his cologne once. That was like the 70 elders. I mean, you know, I've never met the Pope, never spent any time. I don't know the Pope other than what the whole world knows about him. Like the crowd at the base of the mountain. Now, Carmen, that's like the 70 elders. I did have a meal with him once. One time I had a meal, I had a little conversation, but I can't really say I know Carmen. I promise you I don't know him. Just because I had a meal with him once, a couple of hours of fellowship once, I can't make a lifetime claim that I know Carmen person. That's like the 70 elders in their relationship with God. Oh, they were not satisfied to stay at the base of the mountain with the crowd. They did start out in the right direction, but they only went so far up the mountain and then they settled on the sidelines of the mountain. Many Christians do that. And their knowledge of God remains limited. But then there was Moses. Moses went to the top of the mountain where God was. Moses heard the invitation from God, come on up here where I am and be there. Of all the Israelites, only Moses spent an extended period of time alone with God. The crowd remained at the bottom. The elders settled on the side. But Moses ascended to the top of the mountain and spent 40 days and 40 nights with uninterrupted fellowship with God. That's 960 hours non-stop being baptized in the presence of God. Moses' knowledge of God was firsthand, full, and rich in every way. So, there are three levels of relationship, fellowship, intimacy with God. The overwhelming majority remain at the base of the mountain and never really have any time alone with God. All they know about him is what a preacher will say, either in church on Sunday or a television preacher or a radio preacher. They get all their information from God secondhand. They don't know what it's like to open the Word of God and be alone with God and let the Spirit of God reveal truth privately to them. Their attitude is, let somebody else talk to God and come tell me what he said. I'll hear that, but don't let God speak to me directly. The overwhelming majority. That's why the biggest problem with the church always has been and still to this day remains spiritual immaturity, not growing up in full stature in the Lord, never making it to the top of the mountain. Psalm 103 and verse 7 says, God revealed his character to Moses, but he revealed his deeds to the people of Israel. Everybody at the base of the mountain could see what God had done. You don't have to look very far and see God's handiwork, what he has done. He's given us a beautiful world and a very wonderful life. So we can see God's work just by looking around. But Moses saw the character of God by spending time alone with him at the top of the mountain. The crowd spent zero time in his presence. The elders on the side of the mountain spent a brief time, had a meal, just one. But Moses' time in God's presence was sustained over a long period of time. God reveals himself most to those who seek him most. That's a simple principle. God reveals himself most to those who seek him most. Now, I have spent more time in my life with Brenda, my wife, than with any other human being. Over 30 years. Almost 40 years. I need a mirror. I know I don't look that old. Really? When I look in a mirror, I do not see a man who's been married 40 years. My mirror is kind to me. I don't know what filter you're looking through, but I look at the mirror and I think, well, there's 27 or so right there. You know, really. But because I have spent so much time in her presence, so much, I can finish her sentences. I know how she would feel about pretty much every issue. I know what she would do when faced with any particular decision. I know her very well. I don't know the Pope. I would probably be better if I did. If he called me today, I'd have an audience with him. Is the phone ringing? Do I hear a phone? Is it His Holiness asking to meet with me? I'd be honored. I'd like to get to know him a little better. That wouldn't hurt me a bit. But I've never spent any time with him. I do not know the Pope. Don't know Carmen that well. He smelled good. And he ate a Big Mac for breakfast. I don't know him that well. But the one I've spent time with, I know very well. There is nothing that will take the place of spending time in personal fellowship with God at the top of the mountain. Nothing. There is no shortcut, no compromise, no other way to make it but spending sustained periods of time with him alone. And he's calling all of us to the top of the mountain so he can reveal his character to us. And he reveals himself most to those who seek him the most. Most of the Christians, the crowd that are equally related to God, but are not equally knowledgeable of him because they spend no time in his presence, no fellowship with him, live their entire life at a low level. They're born of the Spirit, but not filled with the Spirit. And that's fine with them. They just enjoy. I may be talking to someone. You've not given a serious thought to anything spiritual in nature all week long. Since the last time we got together and somebody else who was with the Lord came and reported to you what he said. Oh, did I mention spiritual immaturity is the biggest problem in the church? Did I mention that the potter is applying a little pressure to some of us right now? And he has something in mind. He has a new creation in mind. He has a vessel of honor in mind. That's what he's doing with his hands right now. And we're like clay in the hands of the potter. Most Christians, though, are not interested in that. They've never received a word of revelation in private. They've never heard that still small voice speaking to them and offering direction to them. They are happy enough to be saved. And they never taste and see how good the Lord is. Those are the people at the base of the mountain. Some Christians now are like the 70 elders. They at least make a start and they climb part of the way up the mountain. And then they settle for life on the sidelines. They're in the spiritual middle. They're not at the top of the mountain. They're not at the bottom of the mountain. They're not hot. They're not cold. They are lukewarm. And in the book of Revelation, the New Testament order tells us clearly what God does with people who are not hot, are not cold, they're only lukewarm. Jesus said, I will spew them out of my mouth. Now, that's not a pretty picture. That's projectile vomiting. I'm not trying to be gross. John Bevere said it like this. The body vomits out what is in the body but does not belong there. That's a mandate to look a little more closely at what we're talking about. They're not at the bottom of the mountain. They're not at the top. They're just in that spiritual middle wasteland. Today's word would be lukewarm. They know what it is to visit the presence of God, but they've never formed the habit of dwelling in the presence of God. And their fellowship has been sporadic but brief. These are the 70 elders, those on the side of the mountain. They stop short of the top. And this is what they would say if they could speak to us from the side of the mountain. Having had an experience once of enjoying communion with the Lord, but then settling back down on the side, never making it all the way to the top, if they could speak to us, this would be what they would say. I'm not as close to God as I once was. I hope there's not anybody here that would say that honestly and truthfully. But sadly, many could. I'm not as close to God as I once was. If you're here today and you can think back to any time in your life when you were passionate for God, but you no longer are that passionate, then you could make that statement. I'm not as close to God as I once was. The elders on the side of the mountain, that would be their epitaph had they died that way. Know what it was to be close, to enjoy fellowship, at least briefly, but then receded backwards, moved and stood afar off, never making it all the way to the top of the mountain. Those who make it to the top, though, however, they move beyond the multitudes that are at the bottom, and they move past those who are on the sidelines, and they do a couple of things right. That's why this video was so touching for me. He said, I have won and I have lost. There have been times I got it right and then times that I did not. And in every situation, He's always remained my God. So those who make it to the top of the mountain seek the Lord early in the day. David said, "Oh God, You are my God. Early will I seek You." If you're going to make it to the top of the mountain and create a lifestyle of dwelling in His presence as a habit, consistently, every day. When you wake up in the morning, you can't let too much of your day pass you by without intentionally saying, "Hold on a minute, let me get connected again to the Lord of this day." If He's the Lord of your life, then make Him the Lord of your day. Every day, early in the day. "Oh God," David said, "You are my God. I'm going to seek You early." That's the cry of the heart of somebody who wants to live in His presence all the time, every day. You know, it's easy. It's easy even for pastors to let a day go by without the conscious awareness of dwelling in the presence of God. I told you, I've confessed about it one time years ago. It happened more than once, by the way. You know, I have won and I have lost. Like the song said, some days I've done good, others not so good. But that one day that haunts me many years ago, 25 years ago, busy day in the ministry, pastoring people, talking with people, praying with people. It was a Tuesday, I think. It wasn't even the Lord's Sabbath. It was a weekday. I went home all happy with myself. I told you, all happy with myself. Oh, I didn't think it consciously, and I didn't dare say it out loud, but my mind was like, if God were to come in the room right now, He'd just pat you on the back and say, "Good job on all you did for me today. Two thumbs up on your day today," the Lord would say to me, I thought. I had a big smile on my face, pleased with myself. All I had done for God that day. Laid my head on the pillow and heard Him say, "You've not spoken with me about anything all day long." That's why God said to Moses, "Come on up to the top of the mountain and be there." Not do there, but be there. Presence. Now, we remember from Sunday school days right on up to this very day, we remember Moses coming back down from that mountain with the tablets and the Ten Commandments. It was the law. God said, "Come on up here. I'm going to give you my law so that you can go back down to where the people are that don't want to come up and hear it from me directly. You can teach them the law I will give you." We remember that, the Ten Commandments, Moses coming down from the mountain with that. But he got more than the law when he was on the mountain. More. And it affects us today. Moses got by far much more from his mountaintop experience than the Ten Commandments. He also got God's blueprint for the tabernacle. Now, in the Old Testament, that was a pattern of how God's people were to worship. And in the New Testament, the day we live, it means even so much more than that. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5, we see where God spoke to Moses and said, "Be sure that you make everything according to the pattern I showed you on the mountain." So God not only gave the Ten Commandments, but He showed Moses the pattern of the tabernacle that was to be built as a place for God's people to worship. It was a pattern by which God's people were taught to worship. Now, in the New Testament, we're not even limited to that, but it's bigger and better even than that. But the outer court gives us, and the inner court and the most holy place the three parts of the tabernacle are perfect parallels to the three different levels of intimacy with God. Look at a picture of the tabernacle on the screen. This is the design God got, or Moses got from God when he was on the top of the mountain. There's the tabernacle. And for those of you who've attended any classes of theology, read any books about Old Testament tabernacle and how God's people worshipped back then, if the people were to show up for worship at this tabernacle, there'd be people all on the outside. And the inside there, the inside, that would be the outer court. That's not quite near the presence of God, but people would be packed into that place. Then you would go in through those doors there into the inner court and still couldn't get to the presence of God. But that's a little bit closer. So if you're standing all on the outside here, that would be like the crowd that stayed at the base of the mountain and never even attempted to climb toward God at all. But if you made your way inside the fence here, that's the outer court. It's open air, nothing above your head, just fence as the boundaries there. It would be packed with people, but that's still the outer court. That's still the crowd. That's still people who are not close to God. But then if you go through these doors, you go into the holy place, or the inner court. Now you're like the elders on the side of the mountain. You've left the crowd. You have gone a little bit further. You're headed in the right direction. But if you go only so far and stop there, you're still short of reaching the presence. The truth is, back in this day, the presence of God was kept in the Ark of the Covenant. It was a piece of furniture at the very back of the inner place, or the holy place. This picture here that looks like a shed, that part of it there. You could even walk into that and not be at the presence. You had to go all the way back and through a thick curtain or a veil. And the only people who were allowed to get past that curtain, to go through that curtain, and to get in there and be able to see or touch the ark that housed God's presence, were the priests. And it was like the Supreme Court justice. Once you were appointed a priest, you served the rest of your life. It wasn't a 4-year or an 8-year term, and then somebody else took your place. You were appointed for life. And over 1,500 years, there were only 50 priests, only 50 people that ever got to the presence of God. In 1,500 years, that would be the equivalent of in Moses. Instruction, Exodus 24, reaching the top of the mountain. But now, in our day, all of us were afar off. The Bible says, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. When he was crucified and paid the price for our sin, so many things in the natural happened. Not just in the spiritual, in the heavens above our head, but even in the natural. One thing that happened is the curtain in that temple was divided. And man could go through now, could get right into the presence of God by faith in Jesus. So here's what it means if we're going to grow up spiritually. I'll say this in closing. And this is an indicator for all of you. All of you have your favorite television preacher. I suppose you do. And this is not a trick question. This is not a trick question. Just give me a favorite TV preacher. Joe, who's one of your favorite television preachers? Joel Osteen. Really? Well, you're a man full of hope and encouragement. That explains a lot about the way you live in victory right there. Joel Osteen. It's not a trick question. Here's the revelation today. Joe Wallace has the same access to the presence of God that Joel Osteen has. We're all equally related and can all be equally knowledgeable and spend equal time in his presence and in fellowship. Dr. Mayer, who's one of your favorite TV preachers? I know you got plenty. T.D. Jakes and Joseph Prince. Oh, sister. She's been stretched, I can tell. Here's the revelation for you, Dr. Mary. You have the same equal access into the presence of God where revelation pours forth as T.D. Jakes. And who was that other one? Joseph Prince. You can get the same presence that they get anytime. That's the New Testament. Oh, please, man. Who else? Who else? Call out a favorite preacher. Television preacher now. Charles Stanley. God bless you. You know what? You can get into that same place, the present, where Charles goes and gets the rich word he delivers and goes and gives it all over the world to people who say, Charles, you go in there and tell us what now God said. But now don't let God come in here and talk to me. Charles, you go get the word of the Lord and come tell me. I'll listen to you now, Charles. I don't want God to speak to me personally. But now, Charles, you go hear from him and come in here and tell me now what he said. Lena, you can go straight to that same place and get the same thing, Charles. You can go for your own self. I told you it wasn't a trick question. We all have our favorite. T.D. Jakes is my favorite. I mean, I'll go to a conference just to hear him read the phone book. But here's the truth. He does not have a monopoly on the spirit of revelation. He is not the only one who can get to where God is these days. I can get right there where TG goes to hear from God. And so can you. I'll close with this. I've said it before, but I went to see TG Jakes one time. Now, I've smelled him too. He got some good cologne. I was only one service. I was on the stage with him. I mean, you know, I didn't have nothing to say. I just sat there with a bunch of other people. There were 5,000 people out there. And I was blessed to be on the stage sitting up there with him. And that place was wild. He had to tell them to sit down over and over. Said, please, I'm not through preaching. Sit down, he said. You preach a little more. And he gave the secret. When he said, he didn't even remember saying it. It wasn't on the teleprompter or in his notes. He didn't have a note. He just said, I never come into the presence of God. Because I never leave the presence of God. He said, I dwell in his presence all the time. We can live at the top of the mountain and enjoy fellowship, communion with God. All the time. Nobody has any advantage over any one of us. We're all equally related to God. And in this covenant, we can be equally knowledgeable of Him and enjoy non-stop fellowship with God as a lifestyle. That's how we grow into spiritual maturity. And that's what God... That'll explain some of the pressure going on in some of our lives right now. Ooh, not so comfortable over there right now in that area. Oh, yeah, God says, I'm working. I'm working something out for you. Oh, yeah, that's my finger you feel. Yeah, you're spinning around. Yeah, your world is a spinning around. Oh, that pressure, that little touchy sore spot, that's my finger, God said. I know what I'm up to here. I'm going to take the same old clay you've been for a while, and I'm going to apply a little pressure to certain areas. I'm going to smooth out some rough edges. I've got a masterpiece in mind. And when I get through reshaping and remolding this lump of clay right here, you're going to be a vessel of honor according to my purpose. That explains a lot going on in your life today. Stand with me if you will. Everybody stand if you will. Bow your heads as the prayer team comes and find